Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's Wednesday, August 24th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians wake up this morning in San Diego with a three-game lead in the American League Central Division, thanks to a 3-1 victory over the Padres last night, late into the early morning hours. Jose Ramirez comes through with an RBI single in the eighth inning after Oscar Gonzalez and Andrés Giménez both homered off of Mike Clevinger. And the bullpen delivers 4 1/3 innings of scoreless relief again, to get the Guardians to another victory to open this six-game road trip on the West Coast. It couldn't have gone any better for Terry Francona and the Guardians last night.
Yeah, just a really strong effort by the bullpen. Right now, Sandlin is working on a 13 1/3 inning scoreless streak. Karinchak is on an 18 inning scoreless streak. Class A earned his 29th save and 23rd straight save. And Trevor Stephan pitched the eighth. And Joe, since September 15th, he has a 1.04 ERA and has allowed 3 earned runs in 26 innings. So they say hitting is contagious. Maybe relief pitching is contagious as well.
It really seemed that way. Stephan struck out the side in the eighth inning. Karinchak in the seventh had to work. Both he and Stephan had to work to get through their innings. But it was sort of like one of those typical outings for both of them. Also, I think, the layoff there, they had a couple of days where neither of them pitched. And, it's been a while. It's understandable. Maybe there's a little rust to knock off there. But in both cases, you just got the feeling when they came in that, that inning was taken care of. I want to go back to Nick Sandlin, who came in the fifth inning with a runner on base, and Jorge Alfaro coming to the plate. Sandlin was able to go up there and just spin him into the ground with some really good off-speed stuff and pump fastballs past him. It was one of the more intriguing at-bats of the game, I thought, because you would take an Aaron Civale out, maybe a batter earlier than you necessarily wanted to, but you could tell that Civale was at the end of the line and you needed somebody to come in and give you one good at-bat, and Sandlin did that. And then he came out and he had another, good inning in the sixth.
Yeah, he was throwing wiffle balls up there, right? Just by watching on TV. His slider has so much movement. And the good thing is, Joe, when he got sent down earlier in the season, it was because he couldn't control that slider. And he mm-hmm. was, he was working so fast that, he looked out of rhythm to me. But last night, his ball was, he controlled it. When he did get out of the zone, he was able to bring it back in, and then he retires, four straight guys, he ends the fifth, and then he retires the side in order in the sixth. Just a great job by him. And, you know, I know what Tito was saying after the game and reading your game story that he could really be, you know, a key part to that bullpen coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, Tito was talking about Sandlin last night after the game, the way that he talked about Eli Morgan earlier in the season. You know, he said we can use him as a weapon. He gives guys a different, he gives us a different look than most of the other guys in the pen right now. And I'll tell you, you talked about throwing wiffle balls. From my perspective and my vantage point, at least two of the pitches to Alfaro were in the left-handed batter's box by the time they got to the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, the like you said, the movement is incredible, and you feel bad for a right-handed hitter who's got to try and wait on that pitch, and it never seems to get there.
Yeah, and it was really fun to watch. And I don't know if that home plate umpire had a very good a night.
Stu Sherwater
was struggling big time, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Brandon Drury didn't make it out of the fourth inning as the designated hitter for the Padres, and he complained about a third strike call, and, you know, looking at StatCast and looking at the replay and actually looking at it live, I thought he had a pretty good argument all the way around. He just must have said the magic words.
Yeah,
got to teach these guys how to argue and stay in games, because you can't say what he said and expect to stay in a ball game.
Yeah, especially what they lose Juan Soto before the game, just before game time, with a back injury or a tight back, and all of a sudden you lose Drury, and you're really kind of you're up against it if you're Bob Melvin.
Yeah, and you wonder. I'd be curious to see this afternoon if Soto's in the lineup again, because you know that's a tight back might not be just a one game thing, but we'll see if the Guardians can get away with not having to face Juan Soto today. As far as what's going on around the rest of the division, last night the Twins lost for the fourth straight time. They fell to Houston. Almost got no hit. Justin Verlander threw six no-hit innings. And then the bullpen tried to give away a four-run lead in the ninth. But the Astros hung on. The Twins lose. So now Cleveland's lead is three games. It's the most it's been all season in the AL Central. Earlier, the White Sox fell to the Baltimore Orioles. Ryan Mountcastle hits a three-run home run early against Dylan Cease. But there's more to the story than that. Tony La Russa again under fire in Chicago for the way that things sort of set up coming out of the rainout on Sunday. La Russa was supposed to had Cease scheduled to pitch in Cleveland on Sunday. He didn't. He pushed him back, but he pushed him back to Tuesday. Instead of pitching him on Monday, he pitched Michael Wacha on Monday. Wacha lasted what, four batters before getting hurt.
Wow. And both the Twins and the White Sox, Joe, not only are they losing games, but they're losing players. The Twins had to put Byron Buxton, their talented but kind of fragile center fielder, on the IL, and you know, Tyler Mahle, one of their deadline pickups that they were counting on to bolster the rotation, is on the IL with a sore shoulder. And the White Sox had put Grandel and Kopech on the IL, and now Wacha left early.
Yeah, you've got about 40 games left here for the Guardians, and it just feels like everything is lining up and falling into place for them to, you know, at least down the stretch, be in position to be fighting for a division championship in the final week of the season. All of their opponents and all of their competition seem to be struggling and suffering. The Guardians have only they've had 16 injured list stints throughout the season this year. Right now, they only have two names on the injury report. And one of them is Cody Morris, who hasn't been with the club all season. The other is what? Anthony Gose, who's dealing with a forearm. This is one of those seasons where it's like you're not talking about injuries every day. It just seems like a lot of that probably has to do with the kids just being so young and new to the game.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, knock on wood, Joe, because so often seasons are changed or derailed by injuries, especially if you have a little bit of an older team, that guys, veteran guys that have, played the game and been hurt. But every once in a while, a season like this comes along where you don't use the IL. You're very, very fortunate. And, the Guardians should light a candle or do whatever they can because they've got to stay healthy going down the stretch. That's a key.
Yeah, don't walk under any ladders or anything like that. Last night's game, we sort of mentioned, but didn't go into any detail. Oscar Gonzalez early in the game, second inning against Mike Clevinger, waiting on and knowing that he's going to get a curveball, waits on one that Clevinger hangs up a little high, keeps his hands back, and just yanked it into the left field seats. Gonzalez again, and he was on base, two or three times. He reached on an error, hustling, playing a good right field. Tito said afterwards that, he's done everything that they've asked of him. They know they're going to get, strikeouts every now and then. Just being aggressive up there at the plate, and his swing is finding holes and coming through for this club. He's a real big reason why Framil Reyes is playing in Chicago right now, and not Cleveland. And we'll get to Framil here in a second.
Yeah, Joe, that swing in the second inning on the home run, it was very similar to one he took, over the weekend against the White Sox, but he didn't have to contend with a 19-foot wall as all the hitters do in Progressive Field. And so it turns into a home run instead of a double. So, this guy's going to hit some home runs, Joe. His profile in the minors says, he's a power hitter. But it is just so fun to watch him play right now and swing the bat and hustle. He's a good player. And the thing that keeps coming back to me is how could you leave this guy unprotected? You protected everybody else in the organization and you didn't protect this guy.
And he, signed back with the club and stayed with the organization, despite being unprotected. That's the big key. Yeah, Gonzalez, really has been showing something lately, at the plate. And for a big guy, he hustles and he runs so well. The athleticism that he's showing out there. The defense is great. The arm is great in right field, but he's showing that he's also playing the game the right way, and that's something that's big. It's huge for Tito.
Definitely. And he's kind of followed their instructions offensively. He's not swinging from like he takes like one big swing of bat in an at bat, but then he kind of reels it in and is kind of control, looks always looking for something up the middle or to right field. And when he gets a chance to pull something, he does. But just he's a much more disciplined hitter than I thought he would be. And it's just really I kind of think it's a reflection on him, being able to adjust and being patient. And that's not always easy for young guys.
Yeah, and you want 31 home runs last year between Double A and Triple A, so you know that the power is there and that it's sort of raw and it's coming at some point. Speaking of power that's coming and that's here and that's been here all season, 15 home runs now for Andrés Giménez, and he launched one off Clevinger on a fastball in the fourth inning, gave him a 2-0 lead. Giménez just never stops impressing you with what he's able to do at the plate in big situations. And earlier in the game makes a diving stop in the first inning to sort of save Aaron Civale in a situation where he could have given up a couple of runs early. Giménez playing gold glove defense at second base, You know, he's Gold Glove defender and a Silver Slugger at second base right now. I think it would not be out of the realm of possibilities to expect that's how he's going to end up at the end of this season.
Yeah, just, you know, great game, another great game by him. I like how he kind of tiptoed down the line after he hit that home run, using some body English to try to keep that ball fair. But, you know, that was a no-doubter if it stayed fair, and it did. And just an all-around, like you said, Joe, he's got an all-around game, and we're seeing every facet of it, defensively, offensively. You know, he runs the bases well. And you know, he's got a great arm, can turn to double play. Just got another really exciting young player that really is helping them stay in the race right now.
106 miles an hour off the bat, barreled that one, last night for Jimenez. When do we start thinking about or start speculating on, trying to extend this kid and you know, locking him up as a potential core member of this team moving forward?
Yeah, I would think, you know, they'll start those conversations in the off season, you know, pursue them in spring training. That's the way they usually work. Maybe if they can get a deal done by the end of in the spring training next year, as they did with Class A and Miles Straw, they'll do something like that.
Yeah, I'm really quick to spend everybody's money right now, but I'll tell you what, every time this kid swings a bat, his price goes up. So you got to look at that as well. Lots of fun there. We mentioned Franmil Reyes earlier. I, you know, in the middle of the game, as I'm writing my story, I look over and I'm watching Bart Swain, the Guardians PR guy. He's got the video up of Franmil Reyes in Chicago, wearing the Cubs pinstripes and on the mound in a blowout loss to St. Louis. Franmil Reyes is on the mound pitching to Albert Pujols, and he hit him. Position player pitching, Franmil Reyes on the mound, he hits Albert Pujols. I guess they sent Pujols up there looking for, you know, to get him closer to 700 home runs, figuring it's a pretty good chance with a position player on the mound that he might steal one there, but instead he gets plunked. But Franmil's throwing gas. He struck out a batter with a 90 mile an hour fastball.
Yeah, I saw that too. You know, and what, you know what it reminded me of, Joe? You know, it reminded me when Jose Canseco was pitching for Toronto or playing for Toronto.
Uh-huh.
They pitched him against Boston, and he blew out his elbow.
And yep.
I mean, Franmil, you know, when you're in there, like in those situations, you're not throwing 90 miles an hour. You're not trying to blow your arm out. You're just lobbing it in there. And the Franmil was like bringing heat. I'm sitting there thinking, God, if I'm, you know, a Ross from the manager of the Cubs, I'm telling him, take it easy, big guy, take it easy.
Well, earlier this season, you had Ernie Clement go out there for the Guardians, and he's throwing knuckleballs, and he's throwing slow, slower and slowest. Franmil goes out there and he thinks he's an actual relief pitcher. He's like throwing, and that's, you know, whatever. But Franmil in his time in Chicago so far, I think they're sort of starting to like him out there. He's hitting the ball a lot better than he did in Cleveland. Did the Guardians sort of let one get away there?
Well, I think, you know, when we were talking, when he DFA'd, when they DFA'd him, and when, you know, the Cubs picked him up, both of us agreed he could still hit. You know, it was, you know, he just had to get in shape. He had to, you know, maybe have a change of scenery, but he was still young enough where we still had the power. His power hadn't gone away.
Right.
So, you know, I think, I mean, this could turn out to be a very good pickup by the Cubs. And I think it was probably a wake up call to Franmil that, hey, buddy, you know, no matter how secure you think your situation is, you have to perform. And if you don't perform, you know, you're going to be looking for a new team. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you look at what happened with Miles Straw last year when he got traded and came over to Cleveland and, you know, was playing every day and got a new start. He had 280, 282 maybe. And so I think probably the same kind of, you know, that adrenaline rush happened with Franmil, and he's helping the Cubs We'll have to see. We'll get a better look next year, Adam.
Yeah, maybe with a full offseason and a training camp and all that, we'll get a better idea.
But he's a dangerous guy. We know that.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen him hit 450-foot home runs and not make it even look like it was difficult. So, yeah, Franmil off to a good start there in Chicago. Hey, wanted to mention the Angels. Artie Moreno says he's going to put the team – or he's going to explore the possibility of selling the team, which means he's selling the team. So it's been about 20 years. He's owned the Angels, and he's dumped millions and millions and millions into players and acquisitions, and they continue to just not reach the postseason. They continue to just not win. He's wasting basically the prime years of the best player in the game in Mike Trout. He's got a generational talent in Shohei Ohtani, and yet he still can't win. This is a guy who has a reputation as one of the most hands-on owners in baseball. And he's very much like the Jerry Jones of the NFL, who just sort of, gets in the way a bit too much. What could happen with the Angels, looking to sell? And could that mean parts are going to be sold off from that Angels team? Or does it mean there's more coming?
Well, that's a great question, Joe. I'll tell you one thing. Hopefully the new owner of the Angels, expands that press box for the BBWA members instead of giving them a closet. How did that war with Moreno and the press work in LA, where he put them in a closet, for their press box? I don't think that worked very well. So hopefully that's the first move they make.
I think one of the things that might happen with a new owner is they might look at, building a new ballpark for him, because that ballpark is quite old and has been through several iterations. I think maybe a new ballpark might help them. But I'm more concerned about what happens to Shohei Ohtani. I'm more concerned about where he ends up. Does he go to Seattle? Does he go? You know he's going somewhere on the West Coast. So don't Guardians fans all get all crazy and think he's coming to Cleveland, because that is not the place that you send Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani definitely plays on the West Coast, somewhere. But, does he go to the Dodgers? Does he go to San Diego? San Diego's proven that they'll spend whatever. They don't care. They'll just write the check. So what happens to Shohei Ohtani? The Mike Trout, train has sort of pulled out of the station, I think. But Ohtani's the one that I want to keep an eye on in terms of what happens with this new ownership then.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think he can opt out. Can he opt out at the end of this year or next year? He can be a free agent. So that's going to be really, really interesting.
Right. I'm not sure he can be a free agent this upcoming season, off season, but probably the next year for sure. It'll be fun to watch speculation on where he could end up. Definitely thinking West Coast. All right, Hoynsie, speaking of thinking West Coast, we're out here. San Diego is gorgeous, by the way. Woke up this morning and it was a little bit cloudy, but the forecast says 75 and sunny, as it does every day out here. This ballpark, I didn't realize it. Cleveland hasn't been out here to Petco Park since 2005, and it's only the second time since the park opened in 2004 that they've been here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park in downtown San Diego. It's great. I love that airport. You come flying in, and you're flying in right in the middle of the city. There's buildings on either side of you. It's a little scary.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of fun here, but we're only here for a short time. Flying out tonight to get to Seattle, where the big showdown with the Mariners this weekend, four games. We'll bring it to you all this week. Hoynsie, we will check in again tomorrow here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.